طيب، بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. This evening, بإذن الله تعالى, this is our third session, reading from the book Al-Quran, حبل الله الممدود, يعني the Quran, Allah's outstretched rope. And this is the first part of يعني the topic, the second part being كان خلقه القرآن, يعني his character was the Quran. And both of these topics are presented by the Sheikh Abdul Razak, the son of Sheikh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad Al-Badr. حفظهم الله, may Allah protect and preserve both of them. Our discussion tonight is going to center around primarily, most importantly, the three matters which are necessary in order for a person to fulfill the obligation towards the Quran, yani learning the Quran. Before we look at the topic for tonight, we want to quickly review some of the points that we discussed last week, yani from the study guide number 2. No problem. Yani, I don't think we have any more copies of the book, except in Arabic. If somebody needs Arabic, there are a few copies here. Otherwise, the English, I think they distributed all of them. Now. Okay, so whoever has the study guide from last week, then let's kind of go through it quickly. First question being, discuss the meaning of يعني the ayah in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says فَإِمَّا يَأْتِيَنَّكُمْ مِنِّي هُدَى فَمَنِ اتَّبَعَ هُدَايَ فَلَا يَضِلُّ وَلَا يَشْقَى. يعني whoever follows my guidance shall neither go astray nor fall into misery. Yani 20th surah of the Quran, 123rd ayat. Yani we want to yani get the gist, a summary of the meaning of this ayat. Whoever follows my guidance shall neither go astray nor fall into misery. Now, Musa.
The meaning of this is that whoever follows the revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's going to be on guidance, it's going to be happy.
Now, yani, this ayah is dealing with the two important points. Yani, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he negates misguidance and he negates, yani, the person being in a state of misery or wretchedness if a person follows the guidance. So it shows the importance of the Quran and the guidance that came in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, whoever follows it, the guidance that I have sent to you, if you follow it, then you will not be astray, you will not be misguided. Meaning, yani you will not be misguided, meaning you will be guided. You will not be in misery, you will not be in a state of wretchedness. Meaning, you will what? You will have happiness. So that the Quran is the source of guidance and it's also the source of happiness for a person in this world and in the next. This is the core meaning of this particular ayat, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is negating here these two things, a person being astray and a person being, yani, in misery. The second question, discuss the statement of Shaykh al-Mufassirin, rahimahullah, concerning those who read the Quran without knowing its meanings. First, before we discuss, yani, the statement, who is Shaykh al-Mufassirin? What does the Shaykh mean by this statement? Now. He means Al-Imam Al-Tabari. Imam Al-Tabari. Naam. Yani Ibn Jarir Al-Tabari. Rahimahullah. He is the Imam of the scholars of Tafsir. And all of the scholars who came after him, their Tafsirs are based on, or summarized of, or branched from the Tafsir of Al-Imam Al-Tabari. So Imam Al-Tabari, he said, yani, what is it that he said concerning those who read the Quran without knowing its meanings? What was the statement of Al-Imam Al-Tabari? Naam, Mustafa.
Yes, he was astonished by the one who reads the Quran without understanding its meaning, and he questioned how he's going to take its recitation.
Naam, he was astonished, he was amazed at a person who reads the Quran without understanding its meaning, without knowing what it means. Yani, how is it that a person can read the Quran and they don't know what it means? And they are content with this. He said, how can that person taste, yani, the sweetness of the Quran if they don't, and if they read it without understanding, without comprehension? And today we find There are many people who are reading Quran, yani as they say, for barakah. Yani they just read it, they don't know what it means, they don't have a clue. Yani it's just like reading the newspaper in a foreign language that you don't understand for them. So he was amazed at this. Yani I'm amazed at the one who reads the Quran and he doesn't know its meaning. How can they enjoy? Yani how can they take pleasure in the reading of the Quran? The third question, memorize an ayah when Allah commands us with tadabbur of the Quran. And there were several ayahs that the Shaykh mentioned. Somebody give me one of them. Yani Shu'ayb. Taib, somebody give me the meaning of this ayah that he just mentioned. What is the meaning of this ayah? أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ.
Do they not reflect upon the Qur'an, or are the Qur'an then sent upon hearts that are locked
up? Do they not reflect upon the Qur'an, ponder over the meanings of the Qur'an, or is it that the Qur'an is sent down upon hearts that have locks on them? Yani that they are locked and unable therefore to understand the Qur'an, to comprehend the Qur'an. Naam. Another ayah that the Shaykh mentioned, Musa.
فَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنِ وَلَوْ كَانَ مِنْ عِنْدِ غَيْرِ اللَّهِ لَوَجَدُوا فِيهِ اخْتِلَافًا
كَثِيرًا. Naam. Somebody tell me, what is the meaning of this ayah? Translation. Somebody else. Naam, Sa'ad. Naam. Yani the ayah begins the same, أَفَلَا تَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنِ, but then he says, if it had been from other than Allah, if it had been something that came from other than Allah, they would have found in it many, yani اِكْتِلَافًا and كَثِيرًا, many contradictions. Yani it would have been contradicting itself. But because it's from Allah, then there's no contradiction in it. Please, let's go to the next question, number four. Mention some of the harms that will result from a person's being distanced from the Qur'an and reflection upon it. Some of the harms that result from a person who is distanced from the Qur'an. Now, Mustafa.
Heedlessness.
Huh?
Heedlessness.
Okay, heedlessness. Now?
Losing out on the happiness of this life and the next.
Losing out on the happiness of this life and the next. Now? The Shaykh mentioned about five things specifically, and those are included generally. Now? Okay, that the people who are distanced from the Qur'an, yani from the harms that came to them, is corruption. They became corrupt. People became corrupted from not having guidance of the Qur'an. Also, he said, deviation, inhiraf. Yani a person would deviate. They would go away from the straight path if they don't have guidance of the Qur'an. Also, he said, al-halaq. Al-halaq, yani they will be destroyed. Yani destruction from not following the guidance of the Qur'an. What else? He said, الضلال, الحلاق, الضياء, الضياء, الزيغ, الانحراف. يعني that they would be misguided, they would be destroyed, they would fall into deviation, corruption, and perversion. And perversion. The people who are not, يعني, benefiting from the guidance of the Quran. Question number five, discuss the indications of this statement. Have they not pondered over the word, يعني the word of Allah? Or has there come to them what had not come to their fathers of old? Yani 23rd surah, 68th ayat. Yani, أَفَلَمْ يَدَّبَّرُ الْقَوْلِ. Yani, what are some of the indications, or what is the main indication of this particular statement where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is questioned? Yani, have they not pondered over the word? Naam. Naam, Musa.
If they had pondered
over the Qur'an, yani if they had read it with reflection, contemplation, looking at its meaning, thinking about it, reflecting over it, then they would not have turned on their heels. They would not have ran from the Qur'an. They would not have been, and then they would not have been misguided. They would not have gone astray if they had pondered over the Qur'an. But they, yani, outright rejected it without even considering it, without even looking at it carefully. Now, question number six. Mention some of the reasons why the Qur'an is referred to as dhikr, reminder or admonition. Some of the reasons that the Shaykh mentioned, and he mentioned five or six or seven different things, Ibrahim.
mention of those who came before, and information about those.
Yani, because it mentions, it mentions and reminds us of the history of those who came before us, and what benefit we came from that, as well as what is going to come after us, as well as what is going to happen in the future. The Quran mentions this and makes us to benefit from it. Also, the Quran mentions and reminds us of the names of Allah, yani the asma of Allah and the sifat of Allah mentioned in the Quran. Naam,
it mentions
yani the ahkam, yani the commands of Allah and the prohibitions of Allah. Naam. It mentions the paradise and the hellfire and reminds us of this, that the destination, yani of those who believe and do good deeds, yani the reward that Allah has promised for them, it reminds us of this. And also the destination of those who disbelieve and disobey Allah, what will be the consequence of their disobedience. Naam. Anything else?
Rulings,
yani the ahkam, naam, rulings, prohibitions, commands, huh? Dhikrul kulub, huh? Also, it's a reminder for the heart. Yani, the Quran itself is a means of remembrance for the heart. Yani, it's the life of the heart. Yani, the hearts have life by the remembrance of Allah. Ala bi dhikri Allahi tatma'innu al-qulub. And beyond that. Also, what is the result of distancing oneself from Al-Quran in consideration of it being the dhikr? Yani, in consideration of the fact that Allah, so many places in the Quran, mentions it as a dhikr. So if a person distance yourself from the Quran, then what will be the consequence of this? Then they would, now, they will be from the people who are heedless. They will be from the ghafileen. Yani, if a person is not reminded by attaching themselves to the Quran, then they will be unmindful. They will be heedless. They will be, yani, neglectful. If they didn't get the reminder from the Quran. Question number 8, discuss the parable which describes the powerful effect of the Qur'an even upon an inanimate created being. And this parable is mentioned in 59th Surah, 21st Ayat. What is the parable that Allah mentions? Yani, what is the meaning of this parable? Naam, Abdul Halim. Okay, if Allah had revealed the Qur'an upon a mountain, yani a solid rock mountain, then it would cause it to
crumble.
It would be humbled out of fear of Allah. So what is the meaning of this parable? Yani, it's a parable. Allah said if He had revealed the Quran upon a mountain, it would tremble, it would crumble, it would crumble to pieces. So what's the point here, yani, in comparison to what?
How the people who regard supposed to be poor, instead of them being humbled by it, their hearts are being hardened.
Okay, so the human being's heart, yani, which is to receive the Quran as a guidance, if it was revealed upon a mountain, it would crumble. But yet there are human beings whose hearts are not even moved by the Quran. So Allah is showing us in this parable the power of the Quran, how powerful it is that it will make a mountain crumble. Yet those who disbelieve and who are rebellious, it doesn't affect them at all. Question number 9. Summarize the speech of Al-Allamah Ibn Al-Qayyim rahimahullah concerning the end of those whose hearts are not affected by the Qur'an. Yani, summarize what Ibn Al-Qayyim said concerning those whose hearts are not moved, are not softened, are not, yani, affected by the Qur'an. What would be the end of these people? Now,
because their hearts hasn't been affected by the Quran, been humbled by it, therefore deserve hell is what is most deserving for them.
Now, so Ibn Qayyim, he mentions, yani, what should happen to the heart, yani, how it should be softened, how it should be humbled, how it should be affected, how a person should experience the khasha of Allah from the Quran, from the mention of Allah. But yet, if hearts are not moved, if they are not inclined towards Allah and obedience to Allah by the Quran, then Allah is going to bring that which will affect the hearts. That is the hellfire. Naam, the punishment for those who disbelieve and disobey Allah. And the last question, يعني memorize the supplication of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, which is a means of removal of one's worries, distress, and grief. Memorize. نعم. Memorize. وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. نعم يا مصطفى. نعم. بكل اسم. بكل اسم. نعم. أحدا
من قومك أو
الحمد. نعم. طيب, in the beginning of this supplication, the Shaykh didn't mention it, but the beginning of the supplication, anybody memorize the first words of the supplication before what the Shaykh mentioned? For extra points? نعم. Bonus points. بكل اسم ولك سميت به نفسك. نعم. Okay, so the Prophet ﷺ, it's mentioned in the authentic hadith that he said there's no person who has been afflicted with yani worry, anxiety, grief, sorrow, and they recited this supplication: O Allah, I am your abd, and I am the son of your abd, meaning his father, and the son of your female, yani amma, yani his mother. I am your slave, and I am the, and even my mother and your father are your slaves. He mentioned this, and then he said, "Yani after that, what? Nasiyati fi yadik." Yani meaning you have complete power over me. Yani my forelock is in your hand, meaning that Allah has complete power over him. And then he said, "Madan fiya hukmuk." Yani that your judgment, your ruling, is to be executed. Yani ongoing. Yani madan wa adlun fiya qada'uk, and your decree, whatever you have decreed, yani in the divine decree, then it is, yani whatever you have decreed for me is just. Yani this is showing a person's submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and complete acceptance, surrender to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decided for them. And then after this introductory, then he said, as'aluka. Now he's asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by every name that belongs to you. Sammayta bihi nafsak. That you have named yourself with. That you have named yourself with. And then he said, yani to the end of the supplication, that yani the categories of the names of Allah, that either they are names which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has yani has taught to one of his created beings, whether prophets or messengers or angels or whoever, or names that he has revealed in his book that's available to everyone, or names that Allah has kept yani to himself in the knowledge of the unseen. So there are different names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From amongst them are the names that everybody can know. That's in the Quran, in the Revelation, in the Sunnah. And there are names that Allah only taught to some creatures, some of the angels, or to the prophets or messengers that everybody doesn't know. And then there are names that are only known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. And he's saying, I ask you by every name that belongs to you, every name that you have named yourself, whether it's from that which is in the Quran, or that you have taught which to any of your servants, or yani that which you kept with yourself. That you make and tajal Qur'ana rabiya qalbi, that you make the Quran the spring of my heart, wa nur sadri, and that it will be what? The light. And then he said what? Jilaa huzni. Yani that it will be that which will remove yani my huzn, sadness, sorrow. Yani, and that which will be dhahaba hammi. Yani will take away my worries, anxieties. This supplication, at the end of the hadith, it is said that they ask, Ya Rasulullah, shall a person, yani, learn this? He said, every person who hears it should learn it. So we say, yani, that every person who heard it, they should learn it. And we should recite it. And we are in need of it. Yani, even if a person, generally speaking, doesn't have, yani, a lot of anxiety or worry or grief or sorrow, but every human being experiences to some extent this, And this is a condition that everyone can find relief from, yani, by this dua and by implementing, yani, what is understood from it, that is to, yani, devote ourselves to the Quran, to turn ourselves to the Quran. Okay, tonight, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, the topic that we are going to talk about, continuation with tonight, as I said, is dealing with, yani, learning the Quran, recitation of the Quran, and what it entails, yani, more than just, yani, reading of the Mus'haf. So the Shaykh, he begins, by the way, last week we read in the English translation of the book, from the top of page 20 to the bottom of 32. So that's what we're going to start at today, in the English translation, at the bottom of page 32. And in Arabic, last week we read from the middle of page 9 to the bottom of page 16. So we're going to start in Arabic on the bottom of page 16. If you're reading in Arabic, so on the bottom, the last paragraph from page 16. In English, so on the bottom of page 32. And the Shaykh, he begins here by saying, وَلِهَذَا. Yani here he's referring to, yani, this supplication, and how the benefits of this supplication, how, yani, it will remove, yani, a person's worry and concern and anxiety and grief and sorrow. It will remove all this, and it will be replaced with happiness. But this will not happen by a person just casually reading Quran or speeding through the Quran. Rather, this will only be for the one who reads the Quran with understanding and comprehension, and the one who acts upon the Qur'an. Yani, the happiness, a good fortune that comes to a person from the Qur'an, from the sweetness of the Qur'an, and the good life that is achieved by, yani, adhering to the Qur'an, this will not occur except for the person who reflects and contemplates, understands the meanings of the Qur'an, and acts upon it. Okay, so now here, that's what we finished with last week. That was the last thing that we read last week. Here the Shaykh says, for this reason, yani, that a person will not achieve happiness and taste the sweetness of the Qur'an except that they ponder over its meanings, reflect upon its meaning, understand its meanings, and then acts upon it. Therefore, the Shaykh says, وَلِهَذَا قَالَ غَيْرُ وَاحِدٍ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْعِلْمِ فِي مَعْنَ قَوْلِهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى أَلَّذِينَ آتَيْنَاهُمُ الْكِتَابَ يَتْلُونَهُ حَقَّ تِلَاوَتِهِ أُولَٰئِكَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِهِ. Yani, it is for this reason that غَيْرُ وَاحِدْ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْعِلْمِ, yani, many, more than one of the scholars, of the people of knowledge, concerning this ayat in Surah Al-Baqarah, second surah, 121st ayat, they said, yani, the ayat is, those who we have given the book, yani, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, أَلَّذِينَ أَتَيْنَاهُمُ الْكِتَابِ يَتْلُونَهُ حَقَّ تِلَاوَتِهِ. The scholars of tafsir say that this means the Ahl al-Kitab, Christians and Jews, or it means the Muslims. And the meaning that's applicable here, yani, it's for the Muslims. Alladhina atainahum al-kitab, yani, those who we have given the book to, yani, who the Quran has come to, yatlunahu haqqa tilawatihi, yani, they recite it as it should be recited. They recite it as it should be recited. Ulaka yu'minuna bi, these are those who believe in it. Yani, those who yatlunahu haqqa tilawatihi. So, what is included in this? He said the scholars of ilm, many of them said that the meaning here is that حَقَّ تِلَاوَتِهِ لَا يُتِمُّ إِلَّا بِثَلَاثَةِ أُمُورِ. Yani, this reciting the Qur'an as it should be recited, it will not be completed, nor will it be perfected, except with three things occurring. And then he mentions two of them, and later on, a few pages later, he mentions the third of them. The first of them, yani, that is intended by حَقَّ تِلَاوَتِهِ, reciting the Qur'an the way it should be recited, yani, reciting the Qur'an with its full rights, with its haqq, with its rights. It includes first and foremost, الْأَمْرَ الْأَوَّلِ قِرَاءَةُ الْقُرْآنِ وَحُسْنُ تَرْتِيلِهِ وَحِفْظُ مَا تَيَسَّرَ مِنْهُ. This is the first thing, the first matter that's necessary in order for a person to give the Qur'an its right in terms of, yani, what is required by it. That is, reading the Qur'an, وَحُسْنِ تَرْتِيلِهِ, yani, to recite it in a slow, rhythmic tone. Yani, meaning to recite the Qur'an, not hastily, hurriedly, but to take your time and to recite it well. وَحِفْظُ مَا تَيَسْرَ مِنْهُ, and then to memorize whatever has been easy for a person to memorize. So this, yani, the first matter, it is reading the Qur'an, reciting it well, and memorizing whatever one is able to memorize from it. If a person is not able to memorize the whole of the Quran, then at least memorize some of it. Memorize half of it. Memorize a third of it. Memorize some parts of it, whatever one is able to do. And everybody is going to be different. But the point is, this is the first rite of the Quran over us, that we read it, that we recite it properly, well, and that we memorize whatever we are able to memorize of it. The second matter that's necessary in order to give the Quran its right is al-amr al-thani al-tadabbur wa fahmu al-khitab. Yani it is that a person ponder over the Quran, that they reflect and contemplate over the Quran so that they may understand the message that Allah has sent to us. Yani no one will understand the Quran without reading it with care, yani without reflection, contemplation, but without pondering over it. So this is the second matter, that it's not just reading the Quran beautifully. As some people, mashallah, they are good reciters. When they recite, yani you feel good, you enjoy listening to them. And then that's the end of it though. No, it's not the end. Rather, it is incumbent upon us to reflect upon the Quran and to understand the message that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent to us. Here the Shaykh mentions a number of ayats as a proof for the need and the necessity of pondering over the Quran. He mentioned from Surah As-Sa'd, first 38th Surah, 29th ayat, كِتَابٌ أَنزَلْنَاهُ إِلَيْكَ مُبَارَكٌ لِيَدَّبَّرُوا آيَاتِهِ. Yani this is a book that we have sent down, we have sent it down to you, yani to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he delivered it to the people. Mubarakun, full of barakah, full of blessings. لِيَدَّبَّرُوا آيَاتِهِ, so that you may reflect upon its ayat. Yani Allah sent it down with the purpose, the intent, the objective that people would reflect upon it. Then he mentions also from Surah Al-Mu'minun, 23rd Surah, 68th ayat, أَفَلَمْ يَدَّبَّرُوا الْقَوْلِ. Yani did they not ponder over the word, yani the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Quran, did they not ponder over it? Meaning that you are supposed to reflect and ponder and contemplate that which was sent to you, this speech, this qawl, yani the Quran, the Kalamullah. Then the Shaykh mentions after this also Surah Al-Mu'minun, also that 68th ayat, and here 24th ayat, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ. Yani, do they not reflect upon the Qur'an? The Shaykh says, وَيَكُونُ حَمُّهُ. Yani here, this is a very important point here from yani what we're going to read from today, and this is the core of the matter. Yani a person's concern, يَكُونُ حَمُّهُ وَهُوَ يَتْلُ الْقُرْآنَ. Yani at the time while he is reciting the Qur'an, his concern should not be, when will I complete or conclude the surah? When will I get to the end of it? His concern should not be, when will I finish the recitation? وَإِنَّمَا يَكُونُ حَمُّهُ هُوَ وَهُوَ يَتْلُ الْقُرْآنَ مَتَى عَاقِلُوا عَنِ اللَّهِ الْخِطَابِ مَتَى أَفْحَمُوا كَلَامُ اللَّهِ مَتَى يَتَأَثَّرُوا قَلْبِي بِالْقُرْآنِ مَتَى أَعْمَلُوا بِالْقُرْآنِ. To the end of what the Shaykh said, yani, when we read the Qur'an, for example, in Ramadan, we find that many people have decided in Ramadan they're going to read Qur'an, right? And they have to read 1/30th of the Qur'an every day in order to finish it in 30 days. So, their greatest concern in Ramadan is finishing, yani getting through this 1/30th, 20 or 30 pages, whatever it is, yani I have to finish it. Whether or not I understand any of it is not important, the point is, I have to read it. And in reality, there's no proof in the Qur'an or in the Sunnah that in Ramadan that a person has to read 1/30th of the Quran every day. Rather, yani, if a person is able, they should be reading more than 1/30th of the Quran every day in Ramadan, outside of Ramadan. But the point is though, somehow we have this idea that we have to complete 1/30th of the Quran. So the person's greatest concern is finishing this. How will I get through this today? Okay? And the Shaykh is saying here something very important, and it's not applicable to Ramadan, rather it's for all time, that our concern should not be when or how will I complete or finish from the surah what I'm reciting. Rather, my concern while I'm reciting the Quran should be, when will I comprehend the khitab, yani the speech of Allah, the message that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed in the Quran? When will I understand the speech of Allah? When will my heart be affected by the Quran? Yani when will my heart be touched such that when I read the Quran, when I recite the Quran, it affects my heart and I feel something. It affects me, it moves me, it motivates me. It caused me to restrain, to refrain from that which I may have been thinking of doing from the whispering of shaitan. It moves me and motivates me and pushes me, empowers me to do the things that Allah has commanded to me when I feel lazy or I don't feel that I want to do something. When will my heart be affected by the Qur'an? When will I act upon the Qur'an? This is what we should be concerned about when we're reciting the Qur'an. Where's my action in reference to that which I'm reading in the Qur'an? Compliance with it. Fulfilling Allah's commands and avoiding His prohibitions. مَتَى أَكُونُ مِنَ الصَّادِقِينَ الْمَوْصُوفِينَ بِذَلِكَ فِي الْقُرْآنِ When will I become one of those who are from the truthful, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes some people in the Qur'an, that they are the sadiqeen, they are the truthful, meaning truthful in their speech, truthful in their heart, in what they believe, truthful in their actions, in complying with that which is truth. When will I become from those people? When will I become from the tawwabina, those who repent, from the munibina, those who turn back to Allah, the dhakirina, the musallina, the qanitina, the musaddiqina, to the end of them? When will I, become like those people who Allah describes in the Qur'an, who are repentant, who are turning back to Him, who are remembering Him, who are performing prayer, who are obedient to Him, who are giving sadaqah, and the other descriptions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Qur'an? When we are reciting the Qur'an, a person's concern should be, when will I become one of those who are described with these descriptions? When will I be like that? Here the Shaykh, he mentions a beautiful saying from one of the great scholars of the Sunnah, Al-Imam Abu Bakr Muhammad ibn al-Husayn al-Ajuri al-Baghdadi, who died in the year 360 of the Hijrah, in the 4th century, he died in the second half of the 4th century after the migration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the year 360. Al-Ajuri, he says, Al-Imam al-Ajuri rahimahullah says, وَمَن تَدَبَّرَ كَلَامَهُ عَرَفَ الرَّبَّ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. Whoever reflects, ponders over his speech, the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will have come to know the Rabb, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whoever reflects upon his speech will come to know Him. This will happen. وَعَرَفَ عَظِيمَ سُلْطَانِهِ, and that person will have come to know the magnificence, the greatness of Allah's Sultan, His authority over the universe. And they will have come to know His Qudra, the power of Allah and the ability of Allah. وَعَرَفَ عَظِيمَ تَفَضُّلِهِ, and they will come to know the greatness and the magnificence of Allah's bestowal of His favors and bounties upon the believers. وَعَرَفَ مَا عَلَيْهِ مِنْ فَرْضِ إِبَادَتِهِ, and they will come to know what is obligatory. One will come to know what is obligatory upon you concerning the obligation of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If a person reflects upon his speech, then he will come to know Allah. He will come to know Allah's great sultan, His authority over you and everything in existence, and His power, His qudra, to do whatever He wills, to reward or to punish, or to give or to take back. You will know this, and you will know, you will recognize, and you will come to know the tafadhul of Allah, how He bestows His favors, His bounties, His blessings upon the believers. If a person came to know this, this will cause that person, also, he will come to know his obligation to worship Allah, and this will cause a person to adhere to stick to cling to that which, force himself to do that which is obligatory upon him. When a person knows Allah like this, this is what causes the person, propels the person, compels the person to adhere to the obligations, force himself, his soul, to submit and surrender to that which Allah has made obligatory upon him, and therefore that person would take precautions from whatever Allah has warned them from, and they will be desirous of that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala invites them to. Meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warned us from certain things, then we will take precaution from those things. We will be careful to avoid them. And here the Shaykh, he described Allah here as Mawlahu al-Kareem. And this is important that the Shaykh used this kind of language, because it has yani extra meaning when you say وَحَذِرَ مِمَّا حَذَرَهُ مَوْلَاهُ الْكَرِيمُ. Yani it's not anybody who cautioned you, who warned you against this. Rather, it is the one, yani, who cares for you, who takes care of you, who provides for you and protects you, and he is generous and kind to you. He is the one who has warned you from this. Therefore, the believer, when they come to know Allah, they will avoid and take precaution from that which Allah warns them from, and they will be desirous of that which Allah invites you to be desirous of. And من كانت هذه صفته عند تلاوته للقرآن وعند استماعه من غيره كان القرآن له شفاء. So whoever is described like this, who has this description, this is his description. يعني at the time when he's reciting the Qur'an, or he is listening to it from someone else who is reciting it, يعني meaning that he knows Allah and he recognizes and acknowledges and is conscious of Allah's authority and Allah's power and Allah's favor upon him and Allah's right over him to worship him, the person who is described with this type of description, then يعني the Qur'an will be a shifa for him. It will be a cure and a healing for him. And as Allah said in the Qur'an in different places, yani he described the Qur'an as shifa'un lima fi sudur. Yani that it is a cure, healing for what is in the chest. Yani meaning the sicknesses of the human being. Not physical sicknesses, yeah, it's also a cure for physical sicknesses. But here we're talking about that which is in the chest, meaning the hypocrisy and hatred and animosity and enmity and kufr and all the diseases that are in the internal aspect of the human being. Then the Qur'an will be a shifa for that. فَاسْتَغْنَى بِلَا مَالٍ. This person then will be free of need. Yani the Qur'an will make them free of need even if they don't have money. They will be free of need even if they don't have money. Yani meaning a person who doesn't have a lot of money. There are people who are rich and they are not free of need. They are always trying to get something. But then there are people who don't have much. If their heart is connected to the Qur'an, they will be content with what Allah has decreed for them. So that person will be, yani, free of need, even if they didn't have any wealth, even if they didn't have any money. وَعَزَّ بِلَا عَشِيرًا. And they will be strong and powerful and respected, even without, yani, a clan, even without a tribe, even without their people who will support and defend them, they will be strong without this. وَأَنِسَ مِنْمَا يَسْتَوْحِشُ مِنْهُ غَيْرُهُ. And that person, yani, will be at ease. They will be at ease from in the situation in which other people would be distressed from it, would be saddened by it. That person will be at ease. They will be comfortable. They will be happy in the situation that other people would be saddened by. وَكَانَ هَمُّهُ عِنْدَ تِلَاوَةٍ. And here the Shaykh describes, yani, the topic of our discussion, yani more specifically, that person's concern at the time of reciting the Qur'an, reciting yani tilawat al-surah, إِذَا افْتَحْتَهَا مَتَى أَتَّعِذُ بِهَا بِمَا يَأْتْلُ. Yani that a person at the time when they're reciting the Qur'an, reciting a surah of the Qur'an, at the time when they begin that recitation, they open up the Qur'an and they begin to recite a surah, yani their concern will be, yani, when will I take a lesson? When will I learn a lesson? When will I, yani, heed the warning when I'm reciting the Qur'an, what came in the Qur'an? Their intent or their desire or their goal will not be, yani, when will I complete this surah? When will I finish from it? Rather, their murad, their, yani, hadaf, their goal, their intent, their, yani, irada, their desire will be, وَعَلَيْكُمْ السَّلَامُ. مَتَى أَعْقِلُ عَنِ اللَّهِ الْخِطَابِ. When will I comprehend the message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? When will I أَزْدَجِرُ مَتَى أَعْتَبِرُ. Yani, when will I be restrained? When will I be able to restrain myself, be restrained by the Qur'an? When will I take heed to the warning or learn the lessons that are found in the Qur'an? And this is because the Qur'an is ibadah. وَلَا تَكُونُوا بِغَفْلَةٍ وَاللَّهُ مُوَفِّقْ لِذَٰلِكَ. Yani this need, the necessity for comprehending the Qur'an, for reflecting upon the Qur'an, for contemplating what we are reading in the Qur'an, the need for this is because the Quran is, yani reciting the Quran is worship. And it will not be worship. Yani it will not be considered as real worship if a person is in ghafla. If they are inattentive to what they are reading. If they are heedless. If they are unmindful of what they are reading, then it will not be worship. And in the same way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't accept the supplication from the heart that is ghafil, lahin, that is inattentive, that's unmindful, Allah doesn't accept their dua because the person is supplicating without paying attention to what they're saying. They're just saying words. And the same way we might be reading the Quran, may Allah save us from such, without paying attention to what we're reading. Yani we may be paying attention to reciting the letters correctly, pronouncing the sounds properly, making long vowels long and short vowels short, but we're not paying attention to the meaning, which is the real intent of reading the Quran. So the Shaykh, he says, this need for this contemplation, reflection upon the Quran, is because tilawatul Quran ibadah, it is worship. وَلَا تَكُونُوا يَعْنِي عِبَادَةً بِغَفْلَةٍ. It will not be worship if we are inattentive, unmindful of what we are reciting. وَاللَّهُ مُوَفِّقْ لِذَلِكَ. And Allah is the one who gives success, who makes a person have the ability to reach this level where they will contemplate on the Quran, they will understand the Quran, and then they will also act upon it. This is a quote from Al-Imam Abu Bakr Muhammad ibn Hussein Al-Ajuri, rahimahullah. The Shaykh says after this, therefore, فَيَقْرَى وَهُوَ يُجَاهِدْ نَفْسَهُ عَلَى تَحْقِيقِ ذَلِكَ. ذَلِكَ, yani, meaning that which we just mentioned. Yani, so the person is reading the Quran, and he is يُجَاهِدْ نَفْسَهُ. Yani, his nafs maybe doesn't want to comply, but he is fighting, struggling, striving to force his nafs to comply to that which he is reading in the Quran. So a person is reading the Quran, and he is striving, struggling to force himself, yani ala tahqiqi dhalika, to realize, to actualize, yani this affair, yani understanding, contemplation, reflecting, yani taking heed to and acting upon that which is in the Quran. And it is for this reason that Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah, says in some of his books, he said in some of his books, this is a short quote, yani, containing a tremendous meaning. قِرَاءَةُ آيَةٍ بِتَفَكُّرُ وَتَفَحُمْ. Yani, reading one ayah of the Quran, بِتَفَكُّرُ, reflecting upon it, thinking about it, وَتَفَحُمْ, and understanding what is being recited. If a person reads an ayah from the Quran and they don't know the meaning, and they have to look in a translation, then look in the translation. If they have to look in a book of tafsir, then look in the book of tafsir to understand what you are reading. Because there's no benefit in reading without understanding. So reading an ayah, one ayah of the Quran, while thinking about its meaning, reflecting upon it, and understanding it, is khayrun min qira'ati khatmatin bighayri tadabbur wa tafahum. And if this is better than a person reading the whole entire Quran from beginning to end without reflection, without contemplation, and without understanding. One ayah that is reflected upon and understood is better than a person reading the whole Quran without understanding what they have read. وَأَنْفَ لِلْقَلْبِ. And it is more beneficial for the heart. Yani, the reciting of one ayat that a person understands can benefit the heart. Whereas the recitation of the whole Quran without contemplating, without understanding, will not have any effect. So this one ayat that one contemplates upon, reflects upon, ponders over, understands and comprehends, is better than reading the whole Quran without reflection and without understanding. And it is more beneficial to the heart. وَأَدْعَى إِلَىٰ حُصُولِ الْإِيمَانِ وَذَوْقِ حِلَاوَةِ الْقُرْآنِ. حَلَاوَةِ الْقُرْآنِ. And it is also, yani, more conducive. Yani, أَدْعَى from دَعَى, yani, to invite, right? It is more conducive to achieving iman and tasting the sweetness of the Qur'an. That a person recites the Qur'an with reflection, contemplation, and understanding, this is more conducive to achieving, yani more likely that a person will achieve iman, some degree of iman, and they will taste the sweetness of the Quran. This is what the end of the quote from Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah. The Shaykh says, Ayatun wahidatun taqra'uha wa tadabburuha wa tudawi biha nafsak wa tata'ammalu fi ma'aniha khayrun wa anfa min hadhin sari'in. That is reciting one ayah from the Quran, that you read it and you reflect upon it, wa tudawi biha nafsak, and you use it as a means of medicine for your nafs. Yani you seek to cure yourself the diseases of your nafs, of your soul, by reading the Quran, by reflecting upon the Quran. Wa tata'ammal fi ma'aniha, and you contemplate over its meanings. This is better and this is more beneficial than a person hastily, speedily reading yani any amount of the Quran. It is for this reason that the person who reflects upon even one ayat of the Quran, contemplates on it, seeks to understand it. It is for this reason that some of the Salaf, يَقُومُ اللَّيْلِ بِآيَةٍ وَاحِدَةٍ, yani some of the Salaf is recorded that some of them would stand in the night prayer for the whole night and recite one ayah of Quran. Yani many years ago, I remember reading this kind of saying and saying to myself, how can somebody just stand all night reading one ayah of Quran? But wallahi, there is no doubt, if a person understands the Quran, it's possible that a person can find the ayah in the Quran that they could recite all night long and not become bored from it and not want to leave it. Because every time you recite it, Allah will give you something in your heart of sweetness and of joy and enlightenment that will motivate and move a person to repeat it again and again and again. Naam, repeat it. And that it has to be that we have read something in the Quran that touched us different than something else that we read, that affected us, that draw our hearts that yani to it and make us attracted to it and to have a love for it and a desire yani to read it more and to read it more often and to understand it better. The Shaykh says, our Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he spent a whole night bi ayatin wahidatin, yani a night in prayer reciting one ayah. Wa hiya qawluhu ta'ala, in tu'adhibuhum fa innahum ibaduka wa in taghfir lahum fa innaka antal azizul hakim, from Surah Al-Ma'idah, 5th Surah, 118th ayah. Wallahu musta'an. Yani this ayah requires some time, yani we're going to pass by it tonight, but yani if anybody goes back and reads some of the tafsirs and what has been said about this, yani the surface meaning of the ayat, yani that, yani this is, yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this in the Quran from the saying of Isa alayhi salam, the Prophet Isa alayhi salam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi salam recited it one night for the whole night, repeating it over and over again. He said, if you punish them, فَإِنَّهُمْ ibaduk, then they are your slaves, your servants. And if you forgive them, then indeed you, فَإِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ, you are the Almighty, the All-Wise. As far as the tafsir of this ayat, yani the clear meaning of it is that, yani in this ayat, the Prophet ﷺ, he is taking this meaning, that Allah, إِنْ تُعَذِّبْهُمْ, yani if you punish them in the hellfire, or whatever punishment that you give to them, فَإِنَّهُمْ ibaduk, they are your ibad, meaning you are their master, you are their creator, you have absolute right to do with them whatever you will. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will not punish a person unjustly, but he has the ability, he has the right to do so. But if you forgive them, yani وَإِن تَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ فَإِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ, then indeed you are al-aziz, the Almighty, who can do whatever you will. No one can stop you. Yani if you intend something, there's nothing that can prevent you from doing it. But because you are al-hakim, then hakim, yani hikmah, it means to put everything in its proper place. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not put the people who believe in him and obey him in the hellfire. That wouldn't be hikmah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not put the people who worship other than him, who disbelieve in him and disobey him, in the paradise. That will not be hikmah. So Allah, he is al-aziz, the one who is mighty. He has the power and ability to do whatever he wills and no one can stop him. Yet he is al-hakim. And so he puts everything in its proper place. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is reciting this ayat, and yani the scholars of tafsir have given so many meanings to it, but this is the yani core meaning of it, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is the master of all his creatures. If he punished them, he has the right to do so, but he does not punish unjustly. He does not punish unjustly, and if he forgives, it's because he knows his servants. And so he forgives those who are deserving of his forgiveness, who have done those things that entitle you to forgiveness. Yani who have repented to him, who have asked for his forgiveness and his mercy, then he is forgiven, merciful. It also is mentioned here, yani in the Musnad of Imam, I'm sorry, وَجَاءَ فِي الصَّحِيحِ يعني فِي الصَّحِيحِ الْبُخَارِي عَنْ أَبِي سَعِيدِ الْخُدْرِي رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ, that a man heard another man reciting قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ يعني قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ, here it means the surah, surah al-ikhlas. يعني sometimes يعني the people in the past, they didn't يعني usually refer to surahs by the names that we know them by today, but they referred to them by something in that surah that makes the surah known. Yani it's reported in the Sahih al-Bukhari from Abu Sa'id al-Khudri that a man heard another man reciting this surah, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ يُرَدِّدُّهَا, repeating it over and over and over again. So when the morning came, that man who heard somebody reciting this, he came to the Prophet ﷺ and he mentioned it to him. وَكَأَنَّ الرَّجُلُ يَتَقَالُهَا, yani it was as though this man saying this to the Prophet ﷺ thought little of this. He thought little of it. He didn't think that it was much. This man is just repeating this little thing over and over and over again. There's not much to it. Yani he had disdain for it. So the Prophet ﷺ made him to understand this surah. Four small ayahs from the Quran, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ, to the end of it. And the Prophet ﷺ said, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِ بِيَدِهِ إِنَّهَا لَتَعَدِلُ ثُلُثَ الْقُرْآنِ, that I swear by the one in whose hand is my soul, that indeed this surah is equal to one third of the Quran. Is equal to one third of the Quran. So this also makes us to understand that a person might not recite the long surahs like Surah Al-Baqarah and Ali Imran and Surah Al-Nisa. They might recite a small surah like قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ, or like إِنَّا أَعْتَيْنَاكَ الْكَوْثَرُ, or وَالْعَصْرُ. They might recite a small surah, but if they recite it with reflection, with contemplation, with understanding, comprehension of its meaning, then this is something that is very great with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when a person reflects upon, ponders over, and contemplates even one ayah of the Quran, تَعِيشُ مَاهَا لَيْلَةً, yani they spend the night with it, with one ayah from the Quran, تُدَاوِ بِهَا نَفْسَكْ, yani treating one's sicknesses of the nafs, وَتُعَالِجُ بِهَا مَرْضَ الْقَلْبِ قَلْبَكْ, and yani seeking to cure the sickness of one's heart, وَتُقَوِّي بِهَا إِمَانَكْ, strengthening one's iman, وَتُقَوِّي بِهَا تَوَقُّلَكْ, yani strengthening one's reliance upon Allah, dependence upon Allah, and strengthening with it صِدْقَكَ مَعَ اللَّهِ, yani one's yani being truthful to with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَصِلَتَكَ بِاللَّهِ, and one's connection to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, this is خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنْ أَنْ تُمْدِي التِّلَاوَ حَذًا بِدُونْ أَقْلٍ وَلَا فَهْمٍ, yani the person who recites even one ayah of the Quran with contemplation and reflection, with comprehension and understanding, seeking to cure the sicknesses of their soul and the sicknesses of their heart, and seeking it as a means of strengthening their iman and their tawakkul ala Allah, their trust and dependence upon Allah. And the Shaykh mentions some ayats later on in this topic, not tonight. He mentions some ayats in the Quran as examples of what type of ayats a person could use for different kinds of things. But if a person is reciting something from the Quran intending by it to strengthen their iman, by the recitation of that ayat their iman became stronger, their iman rose, their iman increased, their trust in Allah yani increased, and their truthfulness with Allah, being sincere to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and their connection to Allah is strengthened by it, then this is better for them than that they spend their night hurriedly, yani hastily, racing through the Quran without comprehension and without understanding. And the last matter, the last matter of the three matters that the Shaykh mentioned, he said three things that the haqq tilawatul Quran, the right of the Quran, yani reciting, yani the way it should be recited, involves three things. The third of them is al-amal bil Quran al-Kareem, yani acting upon the noble Quran. The first of them we said is what? Qira'atul Quran, husn tilawatihi, wa hifdhu ma tayassara, yani reciting it, reading it properly, yani carefully, and memorizing some of it. The second of them is contemplating, tadabbur wa tafahum, contemplating, reflecting, understanding. And the third of them is acting upon it. Yani a person has to read and recite the Quran and memorize some of it. They also have to contemplate on it, reflect upon it, comprehend it, understand it, and then they also have to act upon it. This is the third of the three matters that are the right of the Quran upon us, al-amal bil Quran. And the Shaykh discussed this in some detail. I don't know if I'll be able to complete it. I'll try, yani. The third matter is acting upon the Quran. No doubt, yani, this is the objective of recitation of Quran. This is the objective of comprehending, understanding the Quran. For what? In order to act upon it. Otherwise, the rest of it, yani, the person who memorized the Quran, very beautiful, mashallah, there's no real benefit if they don't act upon it. Al-Hasan al-Basri, yani, from the imams of the Tabi'een, second generation of Muslims, from the great scholars of Islam, he said, أُنزِلَ الْقُرْآنَ لِيُعْمَلَ بِهِ فَاتَّخِذُوا تِلَاوَتَهُ عَمَلًا. The Qur'an has been revealed for the purpose of you acting upon it. لِيُعْمَلْ بِهِ, that you act upon it. فَاتَّخِذُوا تِلَاوَتَهُ عَمَلًا. So take its tilawa as action. يعني meaning make the recitation of the Qur'an action, not just speech coming from your mouth. Make your tilawa of the Quran action, acting upon it, implementing it. Indeed, that which the Quran has, wa alaykum salam, has been revealed for, its the purpose that it has been revealed for is that we act upon it, and that we could be from the ahlul Quran, the people of Quran. ولا يمكن أن يكون العبد من أهل القرآن بمجرد حفظ حروفه أو تلاوة آياته وصوره فقط. It's not possible that a person could be considered from the Ahlul Quran by simply memorizing its letters and reciting its verses and its chapters alone. Rather, it is of a necessity that the person has to understand its meanings, and it is of necessity that the person must act upon this great book, the Quran. Al-Imam Hassan al-Basri rahimahullah, he spoke about some of the qura of his time. Qura mean the people who are experts in reciting Quran. But that expert recitation of Quran is not like it is today. Even it wasn't even in his time, there were people who are like what we see today. He spoke about some of the qura of his time, keeping in mind that he's from kibar ulama tabi'een. He's from the major scholars from the second generation of Muslims, the Tabi'een. Yani second generation, right after the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Al-Qarn alladhi yaliyu Qarn al-Sahaba. Yani the generation of people who came right after the companions. That's a long time ago. He's from that time, and he's talking about people in his time, and he said that one of them would say that I have read the whole of the Quran, and I haven't omitted, I haven't missed one letter of it. He means by this that he atqana hifdhahu wa jawwada tilawatahu wa haqqaqa makharijahu. Yani that he recited it perfectly. He memorized it well and he recited it well, good. And he, yani, recited the letters and the words, pronouncing every letter from its makhraj. Meaning, yani, reciting the every letter properly. He did all of that. That's what he means that he did. That's what that person was saying. I recited it all very well. And then Hassan al-Basri, he says, وَقَدْ وَاللَّهِ أَسْقَطَهُ كُلَّهُ. I swear by Allah, he has missed all of it. He missed all of it. You don't see in him, from the Quran, anything of character or action. You don't see the Quran in his character. You don't see the Quran in his behavior. You don't see the Quran in his deeds, in his worship. It's just, mashallah, beautiful recitation. Hatta inna ahaduhum, he said, even to the extent that one of them will say, indeed, I have read the whole a surah in one breath, yani without taking a pause. Wallahi ma ha'ulai bil qura, wala ulama, wala hukama, wala wara'a. Matta kanat al qura mithl hadha. Yani he said, I swear by Allah, these people are not qura, reciters of Quran. They are not ulama, scholars. They are not hukama, yani people of wisdom. Hukama is the plural of hakim. Yani, hukam is the plural of hakim. Here he means what? Hukama, people of wisdom. They are not from the people of wisdom. They are not the people of piety and righteousness. As long as they are reciters like these people, who recite perfectly but don't act upon any of it. Then he supplicated, he said, La kathara Allahu fi nasi mithla haulai. May Allah not increase the like of these people amongst the people. Don't make more of these people. The Shaykh says, the recitation of the Quran is not simply reading. It is not simply memorizing its letters. Rather, it is of necessity that one reflect. It is of necessity that one act upon it. وَالْعَمَلُ بِالْقُرْآنِ يُسَمَّ تِلَاوَةِ Yani, acting upon the Quran, yani, doing what the Quran requires of us, this is called tilawa. Yani, usually we say tilawa mean reciting the Quran. Somebody just, you know, recites the words of the Quran. But here the Shaykh is saying, acting upon the Quran in Arabic language is also called tilawa. Acting upon it, not just saying, pronouncing the words. So if you pray, your prayer is tilawa for the Quran. Your salat, that's tilawa. If you fast, your fasting is tilawa to the Quran. And likewise, the rest of your acts of worship, doing them is considered tilawatan lil Quran. Yani any act of worship you do, that's considered tilawatul Quran. And Allah Azza wa Jalla says, yani in Surah Ash-Shams, in 91st Surah, first he mentions the second ayah, وَالشَّمْسِ وَدُحَاهَا وَالْقَمَرِ إِذَا تَلَاهَا. Yani the sun and its brightness, and the moon following it, the sun, the moon following it. وَالْقَمَرِ إِذَا تَلَاهَا. 91st Surah, second ayat, أي تَبِعَهَا. تَلَاهَا, it means تَبِعَهَا, follows it. Yani meaning the moon following the sun. فَالْإِتِّبَا, following, adhering to something, following strictly something, is from the meanings of tilawa. And the Qur'an has only been sent down for this reason, that is, that the tilawa of the Qur'an, that it be action, that we act upon it. Yani that the person act upon it. And in the tafsir of Ibn Kathir, Sufyan al-Thawri mentions from Abdul Masood radiallahu anhu, who is not mentioned in the book here, yani, يَتْلُونَهُ حَقَّ تِلَاوَتِهِ, this ayat, يَتْلُونَهُ حَقَّ تِلَاوَتِهِ, أي يَتَّبِعُونَهُ حَقَّ اتِّبَاعِهِ. Yani that reciting it with the way it should be recited, it means following the Quran the way it should be followed. So when you are reading the Quran and you pass by in it awamir, commands, wanawahin, prohibitions, wazawajir, yani those curbs or checks on you that yani restrict you or limit you, waqawari', yani those ayats that contain takhweef, yani fearful things, yani that put fear in you, when you came across those things, wa mawa'iz, admonitions, wa tadhkirat, reminders, wa basair, yani those yani penetrating, keen, yani insightful ayats from the Quran, fama hadhuka minha وَمَا نَصِيبُكَ. So what is your portion? Yani, what is your share from these ayats of the Quran when you pass by them? Yani, do you reflect upon those commands, those prohibitions, those admonitions, those reminders, or do you just pass by them, yani, passing? يَقُولُ عَبْدُ الْإِبْنِ مَسُورُ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ إِذَا سَمِعْتَ اللَّهُ يَقُولُ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فَأَرْعِهَا سمعك ف فإنه إما خير يأمر به أو شر ينهى عنه. يعني عبد بن مسعود رضي الله عنه, he said, if you hear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, O you who believe, yani whenever you hear in the Quran that which begins with O you who believe, then give your ear to it, your hearing, your listening, yani listen attentively. For indeed, it is either something good that you are commanded to do, or it is something evil that you are prohibited from. And this is a tremendous yani advice from Abdul ibn Mas'ud, that when we're reading the Quran, pay attention. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O you who believe, pay attention, something is coming here that you have to do. Yani either some good that you're commanded with or some evil to refrain from. As far as the one who, if you are one of those who does not listen attentively, doesn't give your ear to it, and those ayats pass by you as though yani al-amra la ya'nika, it's not of your concern, it's not related to you. As though the message is for someone other than you. Like the khutbah in Jumu'ah, when the imam is saying something about the people who did such and such and so, and you're looking around at other people like it's them. So we read the Quran, and it's as though this is not for me, this is somebody else that Allah is talking about. The Shaykh said, if that's you, so when will you benefit from the Quran? When will the Quran have an effect upon you? If as you read it, you're not paying attention, that this is for you. Yani this is for you. When will you then benefit from the Quran? For this reason, in this kind of situation, the abd, the human being, is in need of striving against his own self to achieve these three meanings. Yani of recitation of the noble Quran. The first of them is reading it well and memorizing it and recitation of it well. And the second of them is حُسْنُ التَّعَمُّلْ وَالتَّدَبُّرْ وَفَهْمْ لِمَعَانِهِ, yani that a person reflect and contemplate and understand the meanings of the Quran. And the third of them is that a person act upon it, that we act upon it. And finally, yani we're going to stop here. The Shaykh closes here by saying, وَقَدْ يَسَّرَ اللَّهُ هَذِهِ الْأُمُورَ الثَّلَاثَ لِلْعِبَادِ. Yani indeed, certainly, definitely, Allah has made these three matters easy for His worshippers. Allah has made them easy. There's no excuse for anyone not to be able to read the Quran, to ponder and reflect and comprehend the Quran, and to act upon it. Allah has made it easy for His ibad. كَمَا قَالَ سُبْحَانَهُ, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Qamar, 54th Surah, 17th Ayat, وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِلذِّكْرِ فَهَلْ مِنْ مُدَّكِرٍ. Yani indeed, definitely, certainly, we have made the Quran easy للذكر, for a person to understand and to remember. So is there anyone who will be yani reminded by it, who will take admonition, who will take heed to it? Allah said He has made it easy for a person to be reminded, to remember, to understand the Quran. So is there anyone, yani some of the scholars of tafsir said, the meaning here, this question, yani istifham here, is lil amr, yani it is a command. Allah is saying, yani reflect on the Quran, ponder over the Quran, and act upon it. Is there anyone who will do this? Yani, where are those who reflect upon the Quran and then act upon it? Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah, says, يَسَّرَهُ لِلذِّكْرَ وَيَسَّرَهُ أَلْفَاظَهُ وَيَسَّرَ أَلْفَاظَهُ لِلْحِفْظِ وَمَآنِهِ لِلْفَهْمِ وَأَوَامِرَهُ وَنَوَاهِ لِلْإِمْتِثَالِ. Yani, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this ayat, the meaning of it is that Allah has made it easy for it to be a means of remembrance. Allah has made its expressions, its wordings, easy for memorization. And He has made its meanings, the meanings of the Quran, easy to be understood. And He has made its commands and its prohibitions easy to comply with them. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preceded this yani statement with لَقَدْ, yani definitely, certainly, Allah has made the Quran easy to recite, to memorize, to understand, and to act upon. So where is the one who will do so. Yani who will recite the Quran the way it should be recited. Yani meaning read it properly, recite it properly, reflect upon its meanings, comprehend it, and then act upon it. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. We have a minute or so before the adhan. If there's a question about what we talked about tonight. Question about what we talked about tonight. Naam, Muhammad.
When you were saying that they would recite the ayah all night long,
naam.
Would they repeat it over and over?
Repeat it over and over again. Okay. Yani in some of the narrations of the hadith, it's even mentioned that yani that's all that they would recite in the salat. Some of the hadith mentioned in the tafsir Ibn Kathir, there are a few hadith mentioned yani under the first ayah that came in this topic here. And some of those hadith have some weaknesses. Some of them yani also are considered to be hasan by some of the scholars. And there's the mention there of the Prophet ﷺ reciting this ayat that we mentioned early on. And that he recited it in his salat. And that's all he recited in the salat, the whole night. Yani he stood in the prayer, he bowed, he prostrated, and he stood up again, and he only recited yani this one ayat of the Quran. Again and again and again and again, reflecting upon it, contemplating, pondering over its meanings, yani seeking to allow it to enter into one's heart, yani to accept it, to submit and to surrender to it. And this is what is required of us, that we accept what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has delivered to us, accept this message, yani understand it, comprehend it, reflect upon it, ponder over it, yani think about it. Don't just read it in passing, but let it enter into your heart and don't let it go. And don't let it go. If it means you have to read it again and again and again, keep reading it until your heart accepts it, until you surrender, submit, and comply. Sa'ad.
Can we do this? Is this permissible to do it in the
Fard Salat? In the
Fard
Salat?
Not
No, it's permissible. Yani, there are some schools of fiqh that say yani, you can't, you have to recite at least 3 ayahs from the Quran. Yani, in any rak'ah, you can't recite less than 3 ayahs, but there's no proof for this. Yani there's no any injunction from the Prophet ﷺ clearly stating you must recite at least 3 ayats of the Quran. So if a person recited 1 ayat, then it's possible. Yani, for example, yani what if a person recited ayatul kursi? Yani would that be sufficient? If a person recited ayatul kursi, for example, reflecting on its meanings, yani would it be? Yani would a person yani read it one time and be content with it, or would they feel a need to read it again and again and again? And there are ayats in the Quran that are short. It doesn't have to be a long ayat. It could be a short ayat. The ayat that yani is reported authentically that the Prophet ﷺ recited is a very short ayat. It's not a long ayat. And there are ayats that might be shorter that might affect the person's heart and they want to reflect upon it and let it into their heart. Now, Imam.
Yes, first part is
Naam. Naam, as far to recite Al-Fatiha, naam. Even if a person didn't recite anything after Al-Fatiha, it's permissible. After that then, inshallah. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.